If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump, the first 30 minutes, we have a lot of fun talking.
Come take a bath with Adam.
Yeah.
All right.
We talk about Adam's bath time.
Sign me up.
And what he likes to do in the bath. Weird stuff.
You know, my boy, shout out to Mikey over with Barbell Shrug, because I know that Mike does a...
he's a bath guy?
Once a week, he does a bath time with Mike.
Does he really?
Bath time with Mike Bledsoe.
Like Periscope it.
And he does, yeah, he does a live stream of him in the bathtub answering questions.
He is a fucking awesome guy.
Yeah, that's why
a
we're
sexy motherfucker.
Connected here.
Then we talk about Adam's Desitin prank. Mm. Desitin is not shampoo.
Just rub on babies' butts,
it's
apparently.
It's what you put on diaper rashes.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
Then we talk about chaga. Chaga is a very interesting mushroom. The Chinese call it the king of all mushrooms. I talk about its anti-cancer properties and its benefits for autoimmune diseases. And we talk about how Adam May is going to start using it for his psoriasis. By the
chaga,
way,
chaga.
One of the best sources that we have found for chaga and other mushrooms is Four Sigmatic. It's a company we are now affiliated with, and you can get a discount for using our discount code. What you do is you go to Four Sigmatic, that's foursigmatic.com/mindpump. Use the discount code mindpump and get 15% off. We talk about adaptogens, and then we talk about Justin's string of disasters.
Man, when is it going to end?
And then we get into the questions. Somebody asked us, they like maps. They love the results they're getting, but they want to work out more. What kind of program that could they use that'll be effective like maps that lets them work out in the gym 5 days a week or more?
We've created addicts.
Exactly. Then the next question is, what is our suggestions for a personal trainer trying to build a client base in a big box gym? There's some gems in that particular segment of this episode. Then we talk about our favorite guests that we have interviewed, what we've learned from them, and why they are our favorites. I do want to say we've loved all of our guests, I think, except for one who was fucking annoying. I'm not gonna say
oh my god,
not gonna say his name. And then we talk about whether or not we're gonna start doing certifications for trainers. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Mind Pump is thinking about doing classes to educate personal trainers on how to become better personal trainers and how to build their businesses.
Ooh, I just perked up.
Finally, this month, enroll in any MAPS program or MAPS bundle, and we're going to give you one of our most popular programs for free. We're going to give you MAPS Prime for free just for doing that. We think this promotion is going to blow your socks off. Again, I like using old
we
references.
Want everybody to have Prime.
Yeah.
That was our goal.
Yeah, MAPS Prime for free. So just enroll in any MAPS program, doesn't matter which one, or a bundle, including our super bundle, which is 1 year's worth of exercise programming. The place to find all of this is mindpumpmedia.com. The producer is producing, okay? Respect the producer.
Absolutely.
He's a good.
I've been served.
He's a good producer.
Yeah,
definitely the best I've ever worked with. Doesn't, but see, you guys laugh.
Surpasses all.
You laugh
previous.
Because I know you're the only producer I've worked with, Doug. But you are the best one. You do a good job.
I
Doug.
Own concur. That. I can.
He's
concur.
A good dad. He lets us be idiots, and he lays down the hammer when he needs to. And we know that if we push him too far,
and he knows how to deal with your crazy loud voice,
the beatdown is coming.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So none of us want to. We don't want to fuck
no,
with
we don't want to mess with the chimp.
No, we don't want
to. The chimp, the backpack, the jug.
He'll rip your nuts right off you and stuff them in the other guy's face.
Whoa.
I went too far again?
Yeah, that was a little off the Richter.
He's a good old boy.
Good old boy.
I put a thing out on Instagram or just my Insta story for the, you know, DJI or the, fuck, what's it called? The drone. Hey, fuck, I think I can't.
He was just spinning his finger there for a while. I wanted to see how long it was going
to
take.
I know, I hate that. You gave it to him. The flying thing.
You guys are dicks, bro. You're supposed to help me. You're supposed to save me. Now you guys intentionally.
I remember you guys used to do that to me all the time.
Let's see if he can figure it out. I know what he's trying to say right now.
You're like hanging on a thought. Yeah. Come on, guys. Come on.
I put it out there because we're heading over. By the way, did I send you guys over the place? Did you guys see where we're going to?
No.
Okay.
No, come on, man. You're always holding out on us.
I like surprises.
Well, I'm sure you're going to have the master bedroom. With the big old shower.
I got the one with the hot tub.
This one actually had, this one does have a hot tub.
No way.
And multiple rooms with sunken tubs. I think three of the rooms have fireplaces in it.
What? Really?
Bro, yeah. Just
really?
It's on.
Just wait, dude.
I can't wait to take a bath.
MPTV does it, bro. Just watch what we got coming.
I think you take a bath regularly, don't you?
We're going to bring you
my house does not have a bath. Well, I mean.
Well, every time we go somewhere, you take a bath.
I love to take baths, dude.
Why?
I'm a chick, totally. There's something about soaking in a hot tub, thank you, Doug, that I really enjoy, man. I enjoy something. It's very.
Do you read? Do you think?
The nice
you,
Merlot.
I don't
you
read.
You jerk off, don't
some
you?
Some chocolates?
No, I don't. No, yeah, jerking off in a bathtub is probably
you
a bad idea.
You don't want to do that.
Huh?
Yeah, you get floaters.
Jerking off in a bathtub.
I haven't taken
is probably
you get up
a bad
and,
idea.
And it's yeah.
Squid.
You yeah. get some,
I mean, some clingers.
I may have tried that once in my life, and then after one time,
it's too much splashing.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know why this happened.
Well, and then once it's floating, you can't get away from it.
Ah!
It ends up on some random part of your body.
So why do you like bath?
They're very relaxing. So I used to have a jacuzzi at my house until it broke, and then I didn't give two shits about fixing it. But and I used to love to go hop in the jacuzzi for, you know, a half hour or so before bed, and it totally settles me down and relaxes me.
You're like
so.
A child.
Yeah.
You need to be settled.
I do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I would prefer.
Give him a thunder vest.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, no, I'd prefer to sit in a rocking chair and have you rock me to sleep, but I'm a little big for you to sit on your lap and have you do
no,
that.
No. But we can definitely do that. We'll get you know what we'll do? We'll get a big crib.
Yeah.
And then me and Justin will rock you.
We'll put you in a baby Bjorn.
Settle you down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know this happens.
You don't like to take baths? No?
I haven't taken
a
bath.
Is that just me?
I haven't taken a bath in a long time. You know what I like to do in a bathtub?
What?
Fart.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying, Justin?
Bloop.
Yeah, you see the bubbles.
Are you a bath taker?
No,
Doug. Do you take baths?
I'm not a bath guy.
Occasionally.
Okay, I was gonna say. I feel like Doug. He's got great skin. I feel like that has something to do with it.
Unless I'm like
good skin.
Yeah. Unless I have like a problem.
I feel like Doug would do bath. And plus, I feel like Doug would fit in the most standard bathtubs. I don't fit in most standard bathtubs. That's the problem. I would take way more baths if most bathtubs weren't fucking.
Dude, the water always goes in that little hole thing, and I'm like, where is it going? It's like leaking downstairs somewhere or whatever.
No, that's
the overflow.
No, that goes to the drain, Justin. I bet you take the fastest showers, or you're in and out.
No way, I take a long shower.
Oh,
man.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh,
are you? A
that's
long
where
or
I spend
short
my my special time.
Are you? Are you know what I mean? Longer short shower guy.
I'm a short shower guy, but I'm a short shower guy. Now, here's what I used to do is I used to soap every part of my body, and it took longer. And then I learned about the microbiome of the skin and how that's not really good for you. Mm. And so now I don't do that all the time. I do that occasionally, but I wash the naughty bits and the
armpits. Triangle of death.
You know, remember when I went on my kick where I was like, I have, you know, all organic shampoo and soap now that costs a fucking fortune. I think a loan out just to pay for my fucking organic stuff these days. I think that's one of the worst. Like soaps and shampoos are like the fucking worst as far as how much they charge. It's ridiculous. You can get some fucking Pert Plus for like 99 cents or something like that. But if you get a bottle of like organic
Pert Plus, yeah.
that's
a little throwback.
Right? If you're really gangster, you're using dish soap,
right? Or Suave
mayonnaise.
You get some Suave for fucking Safeway for like, you know, three bottles for $4.99. But you go.
Oh my god, you remember those? Was it Desitin? They had like one side of the head was like tingly and one wasn't.
Desitin is the stuff. You put on baby rash.
I mean, son of a bitch.
That's so off.
No wonder your head was tingling.
it does. It works. It tingles.
Did I ever? I told you guys the Desitin story that I have with my sister.
No.
I thought I shared that on Mind Pump back in the early days. So when I was a kid, it was really. You remember pranking? You know, we all had siblings, right? So it was I'm the oldest, so I used to prank the shit out of my younger sister when she had friends over. So that was like I looked forward to that. We lived out in the country. There's nothing fun to do. When your sister has friends over, you stay up all night long and wait till they fall asleep, and you freeze their bras
scare
and panties. Yeah, you do weird shit. Well, the shaving cream tickle the feather thing. By the way, absolutely works. I know.
Oh, yeah. That, we used to do that with powder.
Incredible trick to do, yeah. And that's one of my favorite go tos. And we were all excited. My best friend was spending the night. Her best friend was spending the night. We wait till the girls go to sleep, and we go to the bathroom. We get my dad's shaving cream, and my dad has no shaving cream. He switched over to an electric razor.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, fuck. So I'm like digging through, like, what do we have? There's nothing to put in their hand. We have no whipped cream. We have nothing I can put in their hand. Only thing I could find was this tube of Desitin. At that time, I don't even know what Desitin is, right? You know, yeah. So I look at it, and it's like, oh, baby rash. I'm like, okay, if it's safe enough for a baby's butt, it's not going to hurt my sister's face, right? Yeah. So we scored it in her hand, and she fucking Desitin all over her face.
Oh, yeah.
And if anybody that it's ever dealt with Desitin, it's very thick, and it does kind of like plaster and almost bleaches the skin. So my sister's face the next morning was like a different tone on one side.
Oh, my God.
Other. Oh, I got grounded for like a month for that, dude.
Oh, man.
So much trouble for that.
That's messed up, dude. She's
pissed. I thought I told that story to you.
Maybe that's what happened to Michael Jackson. You know, he's just too much Desitin
on his face.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
No.
How do we get to? Oh, the shampoo. I was going to tell you So, of all the things that I've been doing for my skin, like I've shared on the show many times that I have psoriasis, so I'm always in looking for the what works best or what helps me the most, right? And no doubt, you know, when I went on the elimination diet and, you know, cutting out a lot of sugar and processed foods and things like that, I think that helps more than anything else. So that was like the first big piece that helped suppress it a lot and really calm it down. But then I still had it an occasional flare-ups, right? The next thing I noticed more than anything else, stress, for sure. So if I have a high level of stress, work, whatever's going on, I notice flare-ups. And then the most recent one that has made the biggest difference has been the vitamin D. Mm. The vitamin D that I've been supplementing, I've noticed a huge reduction in it, and that's helped out a ton. The shampoos and soaps, I can't say that I notice a big difference.
I don't think you'll notice a big difference.
No.
Yeah.
It's out of all the things, right? So, and this is what I talk to people about a lot, right? And this is what I feel at a lot of what Mind Pump is. And I like that we share good information with all the things like this. But I don't ever want to become this guy who is, you know, all organic, everything, and I'm so afraid to touch anything that's not. Is I want to take care of the biggest rocks that make the most sense for me. And so right now I still have, I stocked up on a ton of organic soap and shampoo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, shampoo I'll probably keep because I don't have a lot of hair and that lasts a long time. So it's not like a major, investment for me.
It's in a spray bottle.
So so one $55 bottle of shampoo actually lasts me like 4 months. So
turtle
not
wax,
a big deal. You know I mean? I'm okay with that. But the bars of soap I go through pretty quick. You know, soap and organic soap tends to wither away even quicker.
I don't think they put the compounds in there to prevent it from melting.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's ever noticed.
So do you still use bar soap then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't do the scrubbers or anything like that. Yeah. No. And I've tried to get my girl away from using the scrubbers and shit like that.
Well, I'm about to blow your mind right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm about to blow your mind.
Oh, take your hat off.
Give it to me, son.
So this goes back a little bit. So let me start from the beginning.
Of time?
Yeah. First, there was light. As I've said on the show before, I had a very close family member who was stricken with terminal cancer years ago. And it was terminal. Doctors are like, you're not going to make it very long. And I did all this research, as much research as I could on compounds, that natural compounds that could potentially make an impact. And the thing that I saw most of the science on that was natural, that was not already something that we'd known about, was cannabis. Cannabis has got some potent anti-cancer properties. Towards the end of her life, a friend of mine sent me an article on the mushroom chaga. Chaga is a parasitic mushroom that grows in birch trees, and there is fascinating research on chaga as an anti-cancer, having anti-cancer properties. In fact,
really,
even if you go online and there are certain medical associations which will talk about chaga having anti-cancer properties. There's pharmaceutical companies studying chaga for its anti-cancer properties. It's definitely something to look out for. I wish I knew about it before she was already down the path, because I would have totally included chaga in her regime, because I read studies with animals with chaga where they saw on average a 60% decrease in tumor size, and some were even cured simply by using the compound chaga. Now, that all being said, we've got this sponsorship with Four Seasons.
I was just going to say, I remember you talking about this when we were at Paleo FX, and this was one of the reasons why. So I remember I hadn't even heard of Four Sigmatic, and you came over and you were so fucking excited that they were there and that you were talking to them and that we could potentially have a sponsor with them, because this was one of the things that you were sharing.
Yes. What a lot of people don't know, what our audience doesn't know, is before we decided that we would, before I decided to approach Four Sigmatic, I had been doing a lot of research, and I'm very careful. All of us are, right? But because Four Sigmatic was my thing, I'm very careful with presenting anything until I'm pretty confident, because our reputation is on the line. Right. I'm not going to promote anything that could later on, is going to make us look bad. And I also don't want to, I don't want to lie to people or whatever. So I did lots and lots and lots of research. We'd asked the forum. I'd done a post. What do you guys think of Four Sigmatic? I got lots of people's, opinions. I'd been trying the products for a long time. I know how they do their thing, whatever. So I approached them, and they have chaga. They use chaga extract, and it's or chaga, and there's a dual extraction process, which I like as well. Nonetheless, chaga was already on my radar because of the cancer thing. Fast forward. I'm more excited about cordyceps and reishi, because those are the ones I've messed with more than anything. Because after my family member passed away, I stopped kind of looking into chaga. That's all I knew about it, that it was anti-cancer. Fast forward, working with Four Sigmatic now. So I'm like, let me look at the rest of their products, besides the ones I'm really interested in, which were the reishi and cordyceps. So I've been doing a lot of research on chaga. Chaga has potent, and this is why they think it's got anti-cancer properties. It has potent immunomodulating effects. Now, immunomodulating means it will change your immune system in a way that will help bring it into balance. In other words, if you have a depressed immune system, like as in the case with cancer, where your immune system has failed to take care of these multiplying cells, chaga boosts the immune system. If you have the flu or a cold or bacterial overgrowth, it has antimicrobial and antiviral properties. It'll boost the immune system. If you have an overactive immune system, and this is why I'm going to blow your fucking mind,
Adam. Psoriasis.
I was actually reading about this last night, and I was late, and I didn't text you. I totally forgot. And now that we started the podcast, I'm like, oh shit, because I know we're going to mention Four Sigmatic, and I'm like, oh shit, I want to bring this up on air. Chaga has immunomodulating effects or immunosuppressing effects in people with autoimmune issues, and in particular, psoriasis. There's some studies that I pulled up.
Oh, no shit.
Yes,
oh,
that showed that people who regularly use chaga had dramatic effects on psoriasis as well. Now, I'm starting to use the chaga because irritable bowel syndrome, I know this is a fact, has some immune, because your immune system is a little overactive in that particular sense. In the extreme case, you get things like Crohn's disease, which is an autoimmune disease. So I'm starting to use it myself, and I'm noticing beneficial effects for my gut. And I'm also noticing a very calming, clear-headed thing that I get from it now that I've been using it daily for the last, couple weeks. But yeah, for you, dude, because now we've got those samples of what they sent us.
Oh, I'm excited now.
Use chaga. I would use it at least twice a day and see how it affects your psoriasis, because there's, the vitamin D, which is established, the chaga, the studies are actually compelling. So I would be very interested to see.
Dude, you got to forward those to me, and then I'm calling all the chaga then. Fair.
No. It's all yours.
The chaga before flu season, sure.
Yeah, but for you especially, because you have something that I've found studies specifically saying for psoriasis.
Oh, I'm excited to try that. That's great. Because I have never tried that, and I have tried quite a few of the Four Sigmatic products. That's the one that I haven't tried. So,
well, it seems like the least sexy when you look at it.
Right. Like, yeah, I'm looking at the cognitive function. Yeah,
exactly. Lion's mane. Oh, boosts your mental function. Cordyceps, great for stamina. Reishi, great for relaxation, which is, that one's one of my favorites. But chaga is a little bit less sexy because it says, like, build a force field around your body, your immune system. Like, oh, I'm not sick. Like, what's the big deal?
Right.
Immunomodulating effects, those are one of the most important things that adaptogens do in the body. And again, because you're, you know, we'll just because we're talking about you, because you have such an outward display of an autoimmune issue, it will be interesting to see, because you'll be able to tell. You know
right,
what I mean?
Well, that's like that's why I shared what I just did about, you know, the soaps and shampoos and everything. I'm very in tune with my body. I'm constantly trying different things to see what benefits the most. And it's not to say that the shampoo and soap don't help the cause, but I've been able to.
I think it's a small part of
it. It is. I've been able to, because I watch it carefully and just I treat it the same way I treat a diet when I'm manipulating my diet to get ready for
you
a show.
You add like one element.
Exactly. I add one thing. I keep everything else very consistent. I monitor those areas very closely, and then I objectively look at it, because you can't just do it for a few days or even a week, because of course I'm going to have stress up and down and different things, other elements that will play a major role in the psoriasis. So I have to kind of really take a snapshot of it over a course of, you know, a few weeks to a month of consistently doing something new, and how much is it helping. And so far, you know, diet first, stress probably second, and then third, vitamin D so far have been the biggest thing, biggest contributors to suppressing mm-hmm. it and keeping it from spreading or getting worse. Now I'm really excited and interested, and especially since we're sponsored, so that's a fucking no-brainer.
Yeah,
for me.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's one of those things when you have autoimmune issues, and by the way, you know, autoimmune issues is like it's this umbrella that covers a lot of different potential problems. Sometimes autoimmune issues can show up as like just like lots of fatigue, where perhaps you're getting a lot of anti-thyroid type things being produced by the body. So now your thyroid levels are normal, but you just feel shitty because you have this immune response that could be affecting you. Not quite Hashimoto's or anything horrible like that, but there's a lot of different things. So the thing with autoimmune issues is if you have a flare-up, you know, you want to attack it, suppress it, and it, while doing all the long-term type of stuff. So, you know, typically what you would do if you had an extreme flare-up of autoimmune issue like Crohn's, and I know I talk about Crohn's a lot because I have a family member with it, is they'll go in and then they'll put you on, like, especially if it's a flare-up, like it's first it's emergency, like we need to get this under control. So then they'll give you steroids or even low doses of chemotherapy. Then while they're doing that, fixing the diet and all that stuff, and then when they get it under control, the goal is to keep it that way. Well, chaga is not it's not a steroid, it's not a chemo. It's not going to depress an already healthy immune system. It just kind of balances it out, and there's lots of there's science to support it. And the Chinese call chaga the king of all mushrooms. That's how much they actually revere it.
Wow.
It's got that much value. Yeah. So, it's pretty
interesting. I'm still trying to, like, so adaptogens, like, can you explain a little bit further? Like, how is it like that it can identify, say, you have an overgrowth or something like that? Like, how can it get into the balance element of that and not like.
Well, I think the it's because it's increasing the healthy bacteria, right? I mean, is that what it's doing?
No. Well, so here's the problem with adaptogenic substances. We've observed their effects, but we've observed the bottom line effects, like, oh, here we go. We've given this, you know, adaptogen to a person who's high stress. When we give it to them, we notice all these markers start to change. Cortisol starts to drop or become more healthy. We notice insulin, you know, levels change a little bit. We notice like symptoms of well-being increase. Sleep gets better. That's why they're called adaptogenic. The problem is identifying specifically what it's doing, because it tends to work in this kind of holistic way. So it's really hard to say. They will start to figure out like individual things that may be doing certain things, but there's that whole plant effect that tends to happen here. So here's the theory behind, or the explanation behind adaptogens, because I don't think it's a great explanation, but here's what they say, is that a body that's quote unquote out of balance, out of homeostasis, is a body that presents disease. So if you have too much of certain bacteria, you're going to have a problem. If you have too little of certain bacteria, you'll have a problem. Actually, here's a better way to explain it. Think of hormones, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a particular healthy balance of hormones, everything from insulin, testosterone, estrogen, whatever. If you take one through the roof, you're going to have bad side effects. If it goes too low, you're going to have bad side effects. Like, there's a happy balance medium. adaptogens tend to do that. So when they give an adaptogen to somebody who has too much of something, it brings it down. If they have too low of something, it brings it up.
So this is
and that's why they're called adaptogens.
I relate this a lot to, and I've brought this up before in the show, what it was like growing marijuana. So I would measure the parts per million in a plant, and so what we were feeding it. So the parts per million in the soil. And I believe that would be somewhere like between 1,300 and 1,500 where I want. And that's kind of kept the planet homeostasis. When it was in homeostasis, it wouldn't get attacked by spider mites. It wouldn't get mold. It wouldn't get any of these issues that you're normally fighting as a grower. So,
because those are all symptoms.
Yes, exactly. Those are all symptoms because the plant is weak and so it gets attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are always striving to keep it in this perfect environment so it's strong and it fights off anything. And you feed a plant nutrients and things like that. But if you overfeed it, it increases the parts per million, especially if it's in an area that it doesn't need it. So let's say you have plenty of calcium and the plant is already getting enough calcium, but you think you heard someone tell you like, oh yeah, more calcium, that makes your buds bigger. This is the bro science that mm-hmm. I would find in marijuana. Oh, you put more of that in there, or more carbs and more sugar, and you're going to get more crystals, and the plant will be stronger. Well, if you do that, there is some truth to that, but if you overdo it and it puts the parts per million beyond or too low, then the plant is still susceptible to getting disease and having problems. So I look at the microbiome or your gut really similar to you're looking for this healthy homeostasis. And this is why, too, that every plant, every person is so individual, because I could have the same type of plant in the same room, but because it's over here, it's getting a little bit more sunlight and a little bit different temperature. So it can be just a little bit, it needs a little bit more or less of something compared to the plant across the room, which is probably why it's very hard to measure and explain adaptogens and stuff like that, because there's so much individual variance.
It's a plant derived, like substance. So
it depends on the context. It depends on the situation. Like
the person's the genetics, their stress levels. Right. There's so many things that make variables to make it very difficult for us to explain exactly what's perfect or right where to be.
And what it's doing, what receptors it's attaching to, how it's influencing this thing or that thing. We just know that adaptogens tend to do that in people, in studies, and it's pretty consistent across the board. Testosterone boosters. Anytime you buy a testosterone booster that's got herbs in it, and they say, these studies show an increase in testosterone, what they're showing is when they give these herbs to people who boost their testosterone.
You're low.
Yes. The people that they see the boosts in are people with low testosterone.
Yeah, not the ones that already have a high testosterone.
That's right, because it's an adaptogen. If you give, horny goat weed or Tomcat Ali to somebody who's got great levels of testosterone, you won't see a boost.
Right.
You give it to somebody who's got low testosterone because they have lots of stress in their life.
Which we've explained this on the show before, because it's been a question that's been asked that where people are like, well, what do you guys think about testosterone boosters? Well, if you're a 55-year-old man and you have lower testosterone levels, it might be a nice tool for you to utilize here and there, or to help bring you up to natural levels. But if you're a 17-year-old boy and you're...
It ain't going to do shit for you.
Yeah, your testosterone's through the roof. You're not going to feel shit from it. It's a waste of money.
Nothing at all. So I know, Justin, you've been on having a lot of situations happening recently.
Yeah,
that might require some adaptogens.
What was with the post?
Balance me out.
Some reishi, right?
Yeah, I attribute it's like the comedy of errors, right? Like as of late. So I've had my truck. I explained that, right? And then I had my refrigerator all of a sudden wasn't working, and so my wife calls me,
which is a nightmare when that happens, by the way.
Terrible, right? Yeah. Thankfully my parents are not too far by, and they have an extra refrigerator at their house, and so we just took all our food and put it up there. And then of course, oh man, I forgot all these type of condiments for what we're having dinner for and all that, so I'm going back and forth getting all this shit. Pain in the ass.
So why was it broken?
So my youngest, he explores, he finds knobs and buttons, and he pushes them and turns them, and we found out that he basically just turned it off.
And so it wasn't broken.
It wasn't even broken. We looked at it. I was like, oh my God.
How long till you guys put that together?
A day.
And how did that come about? How did you find out?
Courtney found it, and she just looked at the knob and saw that it was turned all the way.
Oh, it is zero.
Zero. Yeah.
He's such a little, your youngest one's always.
He is funny. He just gets into shit all the time. Yeah. So
did he admit it?
Well, we didn't put, you know, whatever. He was just like, we didn't want to put him on blast for that because it's just like, whatever. We're just like, explain, like, hey, look, like this affects the refrigerator. And so we don't touch this. You know what I mean? Like, we weren't like, oh, you did this. You know, it was like, we had to have a little education there. So the next thing,
I could just imagine, because I've had that happen. Yeah. When your refrigerator breaks, it's a nightmare.
It's pandemonium.
Yeah, you're getting a cool. Where we lived at the time.
Yeah, we got ice. We put
cooler out.
Well, we had to do all that. Yeah, just for like the time being, because like we had to milk. We have all these like things. And right. We have to get on ice like right away.
He's such a cute little guy.
So too. Yeah, he's funny. That's the thing. It's hard to get mad at him on some things, but so I'm like on a hustle to try and clean the house and do all this stuff, you know, around the house. And so I'm in this room that we sort of have turned into our storage room, and I'm trying to clear it out and make it into more of a playroom for the kids. And so I'm like cleaning stuff out and all this stuff. And I had the door open, and because of the chickens, like we've had like some big ass flies that just kind of hang around. And so this big fly comes in, you know, going all over the place. And I'm like, God, it was pissing me off. And so I saw like there was this water noodle, you know, the ones that they lean on.
The floating ones.
Yeah, the floating ones in the pool. And so, you know, I like grabbed it and I was like, oh, I'm going to smack the shit out of this fly and kill it. And so I go and I hit, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to get this thing. And I slam it like really hard into the window and I smash. And it fucking was the loudest noise I've ever heard, and then broke my window.
You broke your window with a noodle?
With a noodle.
How the fuck?
You know why? Yeah. So what happened was my youngest put a rock inside.
Inside the noodle?
Noodle. So when I slam it, this rock propels out into the fucking, into the window. And I was just like,
what are the chances of that?
Like the loudest noise, like Courtney comes downstairs. Oh my God, what did you do? And I was just like, I'm sorry. I didn't like know there was a rock inside, you know.
Oh my God, what are the chances? I'm like, a noodle on a window. That must be a very brittle window, but oh shit, he had a
rock. No, seriously. And so she's just like, oh my God, she just stopped right there. She went upstairs, she poured me a shot of tequila, and we both cheers, then we took a shot and took a picture.
I could just picture your son like holding, because it's got a hole in the middle, you know?
yeah he's like, stuffing it down like,
oh yeah, this is gonna be cool.
Yeah like I have no idea what his plan was for it, but it definitely backfired on me.
Oh my God, dude.
That's fucking great.
Now, yeah. Did he see that what it caused? Or was it the youngest?
He's
or
the youngest, yeah. He had no idea. He just does stuff. You know what I mean? It's like he thought that was a good idea. Like, oh, it was a hole. I'm going to stuff it with a rock, you know? So,
that's hilarious.
Oh, you know, talk about a challenging situation as a father, because you want to be inside, you want to be angry at him, but you can't, right? It's like,
you can't
fault the poor kid for playing around with some knobs.
It wasn't even his fault, you know?
Right?
Like, it's just like, yeah. It's just the
you're the idiot. You're the idiot that swung
I'm
a noodle.
The guy, yeah.
Yeah, you're the idiot that swung a noodle at a fucking fly.
I just stopped in my tracks and was just like, oh my God, I just broke my window with a fucking noodle, you know? It's like, oh man, I can't win.
Oh my God.
Bro, I need some wins, bro.
You've had a crazy week. Crazy week between the truck, the refrigerator, and
truck,
now a broken
window.
That's three. Chicken. You're done, though. That's done. There's three.
You're done. You are
you're
done.
Good now.
I was all back to back.
That's what they say, right? Comes in threes, right?
Yeah,
you're good.
I hope so.
You're all
I'm
the
getting
clear.
My truck back today, so I'm excited.
Excellent. Yeah.
Douglas, bring the lucky bird on.
This quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
Our first question is from Phoebes Cray K. She knows that someone following MAPS 3 days a week will be in better physical and mental shape than someone doing a 5-day body part split. Will any of the MAPS programs suit someone who loves lifting weights more than 3 days a week? Weightlifting makes her feel good and happy.
Yes. Yeah.
Good and happy.
MAPS aesthetic is more than 3 days a week.
Yeah, MAPS aesthetic's five.
Yeah, you're in the gym 5 days a week. 3 days a week are the long, hard workouts. The rest of the days are a little lighter and easier, but you're in the gym every single day.
Here's what you have to understand. We've kind of addressed this before. It's been a while since we've touched on this, is that anybody can You could train MAPS Red 5 days a week if you really want to. I've done that before. I've done MAPS Red with a 5 day where I'm giving myself a day routine, and then you go, or a day off, and then you go right back to, you start the cycle over again, right? So you can extend it to 4 or 5 days if you really want it. Now, we designed it that way, and we put all the programs in consecutive order for a reason, to help teach people the proper way to kind of overload the body. So the real thing is this: it's not about, can you go to the gym 5 days or 7 days, and do you like? No, that's okay. But if you want to maximize your results, right? If you're looking for aesthetic change, especially, or strength gains, you want to start with as little as possible, and you want to build upon that, and you want to do it in a systematic way that you're always kind of seeing gains and results. And so that's really how all the programs are structured and set up, that somebody could start it from MAPS Red, from all the way from the very beginning, pre-phases, to progressing into the regular phases, to then progressing to green, then progressing to black. And then even black has it to where if you cycle through black multiple times, you can start to build upon the other 2 days to where you eventually are running 5 full days, mm-hmm. Of training inside a week. So yeah, that you can totally do that. But just keep in mind that if you're somebody who is in a hard plateau, sometimes, and I think why we talk about this so much is because we've all experienced this ourselves. I love to work out. It's tough for me to not go to the gym. And in fact, that was one of the biggest things that I had to learn to do, was I had to learn to understand that sometimes my body needs rest and feeding and addressing, mobility and other things that are far more beneficial than me going and pumping the weights, because I love to pump the weights. And you talked about this, Sal, the other day. You get the spike in cortisol, you get this adrenaline rush, your heart rate's pumping, you're hot, you're sweating, like all these great things that like people that love to work out tend to gravitate to because they enjoy that part of training. But you got to also be able to have some perspective and understand, am I partially addicted to always wanting to be the gym? And could that be potentially playing a role, mm-hmm. in me being in my plateau? So just understanding
The other thing too to consider is this, okay? Some of the main reasons why we are opposed to the traditional body part split breakdown isn't because you're splitting up the body, okay? That's not really the big problem with it. That poses somewhat of an issue, especially for people who are just getting started, where it's just more effective to do full body each time. But really the main reason why a body part split is an issue is because of the lack of frequency of training per body part. Right. You hit the volume, you still get lots of volume per body part, but you're not working the body as frequently. And we've talked about this on previous episodes, but I'll say it again. And it's pretty well established now. Studies have been done. There's several now that have been done that have compared groups of people with their training doing the same amount of volume. The difference is one group does all that volume in one day and the other group does all that volume over 3 days, so they're getting triple the frequency. Mm. We also have studies showing that when you lift weights, muscle protein synthesis, it spikes and peaks at about 48 to 72 hours, and then it drops very quickly, very, very sharply. So at about 2 or 3 days, that's the peak of muscle building. Then it starts to drop. If you don't hit that body part again for another 3 or 4 days, you run the risk of your body reversing the adaptation, in which fact it does. Your body doesn't really stay the same. It's either building or shrinking. And if you're not building, then you're shrinking. And the goal is to build more than shrink, and that's why you build more muscle. So frequency is just more effective. So if you like to do body part splits, you can still figure out a way to do them in which you're hitting each body part, mm-hmm. more frequently.
I'm doing a split right now,
and that's how I did some posts, some Instagram posts. Yeah. What was it, like 2 months ago, where I said, "Hey, I'm going to try doing a split." But I did a split like you are, Adam, where because we understand the principles that work on the body and the MAPS principles that we use. You can still apply those towards a somewhat of a split. In fact, you know what? I'll tell you what.
Well, let's consider it a split. If you're doing like upper body and lower body the same day, is that Is that not considered a split?
Well, no. You could do so. What you could do is you could do a split where
it's two body parts,
exactly, or two or three body parts.
Yeah,
but so you're still
isolate,
but you're
areas.
Still doing three times.
There's lots of ways. There's actually lots of ways to do this.
And we should do that.
Yeah, I would love to write
the way we would write.
Yeah,
a split.
I've been wanting to do this for quite some time. It would have a lot of moving parts to it. That's why I think we've waited. Because
yeah.
Here's the deal. Someone inboxed me too, and they're like, you know, I heard you say you're doing a body part split, and doesn't that go against the principles of MAPS? And it's like, no, it doesn't go against principles of MAPS. The principles of MAPS is just that we're trying to teach people the importance of frequency, because we know that it's one of the most neglected things, and it's one of the number one variables that you can manipulate to see change in your physique mm-hmm. or strength. And so that's really the foundation of MAPS. It doesn't mean that you can't apply those same principles into a body part split. What I mean by that is, here's an example. Let's say you're going to do a very, and this is not what I'm doing currently right now, but this would be an okay example of how you take MAPS principles and you apply it to a five-part body part split. So basically, five-day body part split is typically chest one day, back another day, shoulders another day. Well, how would I apply MAPS principles to that? Okay, what I would do, and since I'm the aesthetic-driven guy, I say, okay, chest and shoulders are now a priority of mine. So I'm still going to run the five-day body part split, chest, back, shoulders, this and that. But then on 2 days of the week where I'm doing, like, let's say legs on one day and I'm doing back on the other day, I'm going to do chest with that also and shoulders again. So now...
But you're doing it more like a focus session.
Right. It's not going to be as much. It's not going to be a full hour just because now I'm splitting it with another muscle group. And I typically pair it with a strong muscle group, so where I'm dominant. So for me, that's a bad example because I should probably use what I typically do. So what I do, I'm calves. You know, calves, I'm getting hit 3-4 times a week at the minimum for me because they need that much attention. And then I typically like to focus on shoulders. Now, if I'm going to neglect anything, it's probably going to be my back. My back is a strength of mine, and because I've put a lot of work on it. So I might pair my shoulders or my calves on my back day. So my back may not get as much volume, but it doesn't need it because it's a strength of mine. So I'm looking for more frequency and more volume out of the muscles that I want to develop. And you can apply that same concept if you're trying to build strength in a specific muscle, or if you're trying to
skill,
exactly. Another great example, if you're trying to build a skill, you can start to, you know, include that skill multiple times per week. So there's lots of ways
you can totally program it in a way where you're taking advantage, where you're utilizing the important principles that we've identified that, you know, so many people now, because we've had the MAPS programs available now for a couple years, that so many people have been using and have been saying, oh my God, this is mind blowing. I mean, of course, if you take a typical bodybuilding 5-day split, you know, chest, back, shoulders, arms, legs, whatever, and you compare it to the most basic, you know, 3-day full body workout, most people are going to do better with the 3-day full body workout. Yeah. However,
well, I think the most part, it's like they just don't hit legs enough. Like from the old ones that I've seen and gone through, it's like legs was like once, maybe twice a week. And
because
like,
they do all the volume in one day.
You just destroy your legs for just that one day. And
exactly.
Then, that's crazy.
And that's what I mean. You can utilize some of those techniques and put them together. We have some very experienced lifters in our forum who have done this. They've taken the concepts and the principles, they've taken MAPS and they changed it a little bit and modify it, which, by the way, we always encourage. Like,
right.
Our programs are really concepts and philosophies, and we give you sample workouts that we design for the masses. However, if you start to learn your body and you start to do these programs and you start to repeat them, the best thing you could do is learn your body, tailor them, modify
them. When we created MAPS, we all agreed that we were not going to promote this as this is the best workout for everybody.
We left it open-ended.
Or try and provide a bunch of studies to show that this is why our program is superior to someone else. No, the way we present it is we're trying to teach and educate people the different philosophies and ideologies of training, and the ones that are the biggest rocks and where a lot of programs are where they're missing and lacking, and teach that to the masses, and then allow all this flexibility. And that's why there's a private forum. That's why there is a YouTube channel with exercises every single day going up. It's because we actually encourage people to take, to go through the programs, learn, educate yourself on these philosophies and why we teach this. And we tell everybody that everybody at one point should go through this type of phasing and programming so they can see how their body responds to it. Then from there, they can take that knowledge and start to manipulate things. Yeah. Now, some people don't care and they don't want to be, and that's why we have created structure, and you can literally follow a programming for an entire year if you follow all the programs, and you're going to see phenomenal results because how we set it up. But if you're an experienced lifter and you can read a program and you can basically figure out like, whoa, what we're doing here and what we're trying to teach, absolutely you can
and modify and
change and play with, and we encourage that.
Individualization is extremely important. I'll tell you what, okay, I could write the best MAPS program ever. We could all put one together, but it will not be as effective as if we had our hands on one person and we trained that individual based on their individual body.
There's nothing you could do.
I feel like programming is in the fitness industry, it's like math, it's like advanced mathematics, right? It's like this
math.
It's like advanced mathematics where it's like this really like, you know, deep algebra, right? Where, you know, so the average person that looks at a program, like they just, all they know is like they see it like, you know, A plus Z plus Y times, you know, whatever. And they're just like, okay, it works for me. It doesn't work for me. And I feel like a lot of professionals out there, they pitch their program in such an in-depth and detail that it confuses most people, and it just makes them sound like, man, there must be a lot that goes into this programming.
So much sciencing going on here.
Right. And so then they're just wowed by all the information, and so they just assume that these guys must know what they're talking about. We had the opposite approach where we're teaching you basic addition, basic division, basic multiplication, now and then working you up to algebra, and then trying to
N equals whatever.
Right. And then encouraging you to write your own mathematical equations. Like that's and this is how everybody should really.
That's the long-term approach.
It is. Yeah.
There is no other approach that's long-term.
Right. I mean,
yeah, because you'll get, like, this is where, like, every camp, like, kind of comes out of the woodworks, right? They have, like, super slow training, or they have, you know, whatever, like, modality is going to come through the mix that has a lot of merit and has a lot of value, but you can't just stay there, you know, forever. Mm-hmm. What do you do, like, when, you know, the results start kind of, you know, tailoring off?
I would like for us to consider writing a MAPS another MAPS program that addresses this.
I've wanted to do this for some time.
All right,
because I know.
Let's see what the audience says, because you know, I want to see if there's a, you know, we want to check
there's
and see
some
if there's
a demand there.
If there's a demand, but I think there is. I think probably people like to break body parts up a little bit. I think there's some value to it, especially if you've been training one way for so long. And of course, in typical Mind Pump fashion, we would write it in a way that would make it superior.
That's right. Otherwise, it's blasphemy.
Quick commercial break, you guys. We keep getting asked all the time, how can I support the Mind Pump family? Here's one of the best ways you guys can. You guys love that Chimera coffee that we have. Chimera coffee with a K. You go to chimeracoffee.com, put in the discount code MINDPUMP for 10% at the checkout. If you guys have not tried Ben Greenfield's new bars out, they're fantastic. If you want some, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/naturebite, put in the code MINDPUMP and get 10% off. Go check it out.
Next up is Smash Ballard. What are your suggestions for building the client base in a box gym?
In a big box gym.
Is it big box or is it just box gym? Because then I wonder, is it like a CrossFit?
I think they're being a big box gym.
Globo gym.
Yeah, like a 24 Hour Fitness or Gold or, you know, something like that. Your home, here's the easiest place for you to talk to clients, okay? Front desk. I've said this before on the podcast. I cannot think of a single place. I mean, the whole gym is your playground in the sense of building your business. So don't neglect any area of the gym. But the best area is the front desk, because it is very easy to talk to people as they walk in and they check in. You know, you grab their membership card, they scan their finger, whatever. You can see their name on the screen. You can yell out, "Hey, John, how you doing?" Boom, whatever. You start to get to know people. You do that for, you know, a week, and by the time the week is over, you start to recognize the same people. You can ask people as they're walking in, you know, "Hey, Sharon, what are you working on today?" "Oh, I'm doing a little bit of this level." "What class are you taking?" And now you start the conversation around fitness. Your goal number one should be to talk to people, meet people. Your goal number two should be to schedule free sessions or assessments, and then off that, you get people to hire you. You do not try to get people to hire you straight up off the floor. You can do that, but you need to be a, you got to be a badass to do that, and very few people can do that who aren't already really experienced.
So I'm glad you went that way, because I'm going to go a different direction, because something that I don't remember how long it took before I put this together, but at one point I realized from a consumer standpoint, for, you know, if you're talking about like people that are coming to your gym or that are buying personal training from your trainers, from a consumer standpoint, more than half of the people buying your product are dissatisfied. Think about that. Because more than half of the people that come in don't see the results that they showed up for. So if you start to look at your business like, okay, if I was running a completely different business and I bought this product from some company, or I invested in this company and I didn't see the return I wanted to see, it would be really tough to retain me and keep me happy. And when I kind of put this together, I started to realize that, you know, I needed to start putting a lot of my energy and focus on the people that were coming through that we had already captured, that we captured and we sold, and they were there, because I should know that, you know, more than half of them are not going to get to where they want to be. And I don't want those people to come in, have an experience with my trainer, not see the results they want, then give up and then never come back again and never tell their friends. And I can't necessarily impact them in a way where I can guarantee them all to get more results, because it's inevitable that people are going to quit. They're going to get sick. They're going to get tired, this and that. But what I can do is I can stay closer to those people and make that process a better experience for them, so that maybe they don't see the results, but they love the service that I provide so much that they recommend another friend or somebody else who potentially may. So, and this this plays into a strength of mine now in the business that we are in currently. And that's my relationship development. And this is where this started for me, was when I figured this piece out. And I've carried that on to every business that I've done going forward, because I realized really quick that your true net worth is your net circle. And it became really important that I followed up and I started touching these people. So what I was really known for in my gym was...
Especially in the ears.
Yeah, right. Rubbing and touching ears, right? That's what I did with staff. So, sounds weird. So just to put it out there. Yeah. I had relationships with all of my trainers' clients. Like, very few of my trainers had clients that didn't know me pretty well, because I made it a point to make sure that I walked over and talked to them after their sessions.
You're the mayor.
Right. And I wanted them to feel that way. And I talked to every member on my floor and asked their experience. And, you know, I just spent a lot of time doing this. And it doesn't seem like something that pays off right away, but you'll be blown away by what those people, because those are the people that are going to refer to you, you know, their sister or their aunt or their cousin or someone else that they want to help out. And that's really where this business starts to flourish, because it is inevitable. You have to accept that you're not going to satisfy more than half of your people. Really, probably 20% of people that come through the gym end up ever seeing the body that they dreamed of when they walked in and they signed up and they paid all that money. So just really think of it like that how would you feel investing in another company or a business, mm-hmm. and not getting the service you want, and what would make that process better for you? Like, for example, you know, we've bought products from companies before where I didn't really care for the product that much. I just, it didn't suit my needs, or I found something that was better, but I really liked the service. They called me right away. They asked me like what my experience was, what could be better about it. And I'm just the type of consumer where, because of that, maybe it was a product that I didn't like very much, but I know somebody who probably would enjoy that product. And because they did such a good job of servicing me, even though it wasn't for me, I would actually recommend them to somebody else.
Nothing beats word of mouth.
Right.
Yeah, nothing in business. It's free.
Except for the Yellow Pages.
Yeah. That's
Sal, that's a very good point. Nothing does beat word of mouth. And that is really powerful. And if you can play a role in impacting that. And you know what? Like, there's I've talked about on the show before strategies that I've used for my own trainers who worked for me, as far as encouraging them and motivating them by setting alarms on my phone as reminders to go say something to them and encourage them on the job that they're doing, what a great job they're doing. You could do the same thing if you need that reminder to help you out, because I need that. I'm so time management, I'm awful. So I need stuff like this to hold myself accountable to, you know, putting a plan like this together, because it's something like we talked earlier in this episode about, you know, applying something to your, and doing it for a long enough period of time so you can see results from it. This is not something that you're going to go talk to a few clients 4 or 5 times and all of a sudden you're going to see your business explode and you're going to have all kinds of more people inside the gym. No, this is a culture that you need to create. It's a culture that you need to have in your gym.
You need to have the friendliest people, the cleanest, you know, like most like respected like equipment, you know, as far as like you come in and you know that you care.
So the three C's, right? So this is what another thing I loved about working for a company like 24 Hour Fitness that had the funds to go after studies or to create studies like this, so and surveys so they could really figure out what are the three number, you guys, I don't know if you guys remember this, you know that the three C's are the major reasons why someone makes a purchase or stops a gym membership, and it's cost, convenience, and cleanliness. So the three
going to be way off.
the three biggest things that you can that
Cock
can
crazy chicks
oh my yeah. god
that can affect your Sorry. Your business.
I apologize about that one.
Would be keeping your gym clean, having it convenient. So convenience would mean close to their home or open 24 hours or open on days when they can come in there. And then cleanliness is keeping it clean. You'd be surprised how many people decide if they're going to stay at a gym just based off of what the bathrooms look like and what the floors look like in the weight room. So if those three, the three C's are the three biggest things that you can do to retain members. And then by creating that culture, like I'm saying, as far as touching all your members, for sure.
Also, don't forget building relationships with the other people on the team.
Right.
Like your front desk staff. Yep. Like the people who clean the club, like the people who man the kids club, like these people all talk to members. And if somebody asks them about training or talks to them, guess who they're going to send them to? To you, because you're the cool person that's nice to everybody. So and that's what, another part of it.
And that's what I mean by the culture of it, right? It starts from you as the owner, right? As a leader, whether you're an owner or a GM of the facility, it starts with you creating that by you getting out there, you doing it more than anybody else. You are helping, talking to, touching more people than anybody else, including staff, like Sal's saying. And then from there, it bleeds to the rest of your staff. And I tell you what, once you get that ball rolling, you create that moment. And it typically would take me anywhere between, I mean, later in my career, I got good to where I could turn a club and create that culture within about 2 months. But 3 to 4 months of being consistent, being very consistent with being that person inside your facility, and you will have a culture change. And when you do, you'll fucking feel it. And others will feel it when they walk
in. You won't even need to go get the clients.
Right.
They'll still come to you.
Yeah. And because every like you said, the front desk girl is referring people. The kids club girl is bringing in family. Like there's so many people that are working towards the same goal. And that is the magic. And what I love and I miss about running a big gym is to crush and to you know set records and make tons of money in that business, you really have to get everybody moving in the same direction. And when you're running a large facility like that, at all times I had 30 to 50 plus employees working there. That's a lot of people that you need help. But if you get 50 people all kind of helping you, it's way better than having 5 of your staff members working hard for you. If I got 50 people trying just a little bit for me, I'm gonna get way ahead in this game than I am if I have 5 of my trainers or 5 of my best people that I spend all my energy on trying to get them better and better at their job. It's like, no, I need to get everybody on board and moving in the same direction.
Next is Amy Knight 35. Looking back at all the guests you have interviewed, who are your top 3 interviews?
Oh.
Should we go 1, 1, 1, 1 and go around?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, I kind of know which ones. I know Chris Algieri. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite, actually. Like, just his explanation of, you know, his process and training and everything else. I was just, like, sucked into that conversation.
Well, he could articulate, like...
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of fighters, right?
Athletes even, you know, that can articulate the process the way that he did. So that was a great
interview. He's got a future.
Great interview.
He's got a future in either podcasting or some kind of
broadcasting, position.
For sure.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then Dr. Breck McCabe, I just like to pick his brain. You know, he's like that coach figure, you know, like he's that guy that you just like, you know, you can get so much valuable information, you know, psychology from. And and then what was the other one? Oh, I really enjoyed the Dr. Mercola episode, just to listen to him. Yeah. Yeah, so those are my three.
Was he tripping you out?
I just like, I don't know, I like the outlier people. I like the Paul Cechs and the, you know, the Dr. Mercolas of the world. I think there needs to be more of them. Mm. So,
for me, the first person that comes to mind very quickly is Paul Cech. Mainly because I have never met a person that exemplifies, on a personal level, exemplifies wellness as confidently and as calmly as Paul Cech. I mean, he's kind of a master of it. And what I mean by that is you've got a guy who, you know, he's got a six pack, not because he's trying to, but just that's a side effect of his lifestyle. The dude is much older than we are, can pull four plates off the floor, deadlift, no problem. Incredibly strong overhead press to the point where when he was in his 30s and 40s, he'd press a 120-pound dumbbell above his head, is brilliant, absolutely one of the smartest people I've ever met when you talk to him about, and we didn't even go into on our episodes because I think he's bored with these topics. We didn't talk about physiology, biomechanics, you know, the human body. Like, we didn't talk about that much, but off air, when I talked to him about these things, the guy was just, I mean, yeah. I couldn't believe how much he knew about the human body on all levels, everything. From the microbiome to the brain to the bones to the muscles to the hormones and how they work and how they interact and how they all interact with each other. And he was also this brilliant artist. He understands meditation and mindfulness on a different level. He exemplifies wellness on a personal level. And so, and when I met him, I was extremely skeptical. I had heard a lot about him.
Shit, we almost didn't go.
Yeah, yeah. I had heard about him from other people. I was very skeptical, so I wasn't going in there thinking like, oh, I'm going to be this huge fan. And after we met him and talked with him, I was like, holy shit, this guy's like groundbreaking, especially when you find out all the stuff that he was talking about 20, 30 years ago that we're just starting to talk about now. Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy. So he's my number one, got to be one of my top guys. More recently, we've met with Mike Matthews, who on a personal level, I fucking love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. Like, he's somebody that I would for sure be friends with and hang out with anyway. I mean, me and him have a lot of things in common on not just fitness, but his openness to share with us how he's become successful in the fitness industry.
That was really cool.
Really cool. Like, super open to share. And also, just his integrity was very, very high. Like, several times he talked about how he ran his business and how he could make more money doing it this way. But the reason why he doesn't is because I don't believe in that. And I believe in this. And I know it's costing me this much money. That's how smart the guy is, by the way. He literally will calculate out how much he could make and how much he isn't making. But because of his integrity, he was going, you know, he does what he does. So, and I love meeting people like that. And then the third person that I really, really enjoyed meeting, who has now become like one of Mind Pump's favorite people that we're just very good friends with, is Ben Greenfield. I really, really like Ben Greenfield. And when we first met Ben,
such a character.
Ben is a legit weird dude. Like, he's just straight up, and I don't mean it in a negative. Like, negative. He's not.
That's great.
And no way do I mean that negatively. He's Ben. And when we first met him, I mean, we get to his house, which is up in the mountains. We get there and we ring the doorbell and nobody's coming to the door. And it's at night, so it's kind of dark and cold as fuck. And here comes Ben around the corner, barefoot. And he's like, hey, can you guys give me a hand real quick? And we're carrying bales of hay with him. And he's barefoot with his shirt off. And I'm thinking, like, this dude's showing off. Like, for sure, it's a front.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah, that was part of it.
But,
then we get in there, we're eating dinner. We're all sitting and we're meeting this guy. And right away, I'm already impressed with how smart he is because he's very, very smart. But we're sitting there and he's standing on his chair, squatting down. He looks like a fucking prehistoric bird the way he's sitting with his legs all up. And he's kind of lanky and muscular.
He's perched.
So he looks like – he kind of does look like a caveman almost. He's sitting up barefoot. And by the way, he's got hobbit feet. You could tell the dude is always barefoot. He's got these massive, gnarly hands. And I don't know if he ever washes them because he believes so much in dirt and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's holding a bowl, and as we're sitting there eating, he's scooping the food out with his hand like it's a Like, and I've never
a chimp or
but he's not even tripping. Like, this is just how he is. Yeah. And getting to know the guy, he literally is like that. Like, this is just how he is. He doesn't do this shit on, like, he's not trying to be whatever. He's just like that. And, you know, hanging out with him, having conversations with him. His podcast, appearing on his podcast, gave us one of the biggest boosts.
I would argue he's probably helped us more than anybody else.
Absolutely.
And still helps us. You know, he's just like that kind of guy. Like, we definitely connected and we bonded, you know, with him. But just like, I'm always just so impressed at how he goes out of his way to really kind of like contribute, help us, help other people. But he's just that kind of guy.
Super cool, super smart. And what really won me over, because when I first meet someone, I'm always skeptical. In fact, I think Paul Check called me the judge because of that. I'm always skeptical right away.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, they're doing this because of that. But what won me over was, I don't remember what it was, maybe the second day we were hanging out with him.
Yeah, we went to the fight.
With his son. And he brought his kids. And I'm a sucker for a good parent. When I see a parent like really loving their kid and being a good person to their child, right away I fucking like him. When I saw that, I'm like, okay, he's a fucking cool guy. And he is. He's a genuine, excellent father. So let's see, is that three?
Yeah, you did three. You can't go further than that. You know, Doug,
it's hard to pick, man.
Why we're sitting here, Doug is actually, now that we've sat here for a minute talking about this, Doug is posting.
You got a cheat sheet for you.
Well, it's only made it worse for me because now I'm looking at names. I'm like, you know what I remember is now that he's put all these names up is that, you know, if you talk to me after some of these, right after these interviews, I would probably I have forgot about Rob Wolf's interview.
Rob Wolf was a fucking
Justin
Wren.
I mean, that was Justin Wren. Cried in that. That was the first time I ever like held back tears in an episode.
Have you ever wanted to hug someone as much as you wanted to hug Justin Wren?
Right. So, and then even like Jordan Harbinger, man. Jordan has been one of my favorite people, and that was way back when we first started.
Super cool.
Jamie Wheel is a great one to listen to. So that was awesome.
If I had to pick, so the way I'm going to pick my three, because I think there's been way more than three that I think were just so awesome. The three that I think I will have lasting friendships with, that I communicate pretty regularly on text message. I try my best to try and keep up with all of these people, which is fucking ridiculous and hard now that we're over 100 guests that we've had. But there's definitely like a top 5 to 10 that I talk a lot to. And the ones I really enjoy for sure, I've connected a lot with Ben Pekulski. I really like everything about him. I think he's a good man. He's a very intelligent man. He's extremely growth minded. He too goes out of his way to help others. Very humble. I love where he's at in his life right now. We're similar in age, there's a lot of similarities that we have for sure. And the direction that he is going with his business is very similar to Mind Pump. And so a lot of parallels there. So for sure, Ben Pekulski, is one of mine. Tom Bilyeu for sure too, because he has been, you know, the way the Sal just talked about Ben Greenfield, I would argue that Tom Bilyeu for me has been one of the most important. Now, I lean towards him because I really, out of everybody we've had, nobody I've been able to pick their brain about business as much as Tom Bilyeu. Mm-hmm. The knowledge that he brings from somebody who's been a part of building, like literally ground up building a $1 billion company, there's only a handful of fucking humans that are around that you can talk to that actually were a part of something like that and will openly share that, and that I'm lucky enough to be connected to. And he's that guy, and he's opened his home to us. He's very inspiring to watch talk about, you know, somebody who's got a fucking mansion on the top of, you know, Hollywood Hills, but yet he's still driven to build a whole nother business is so motivating for someone like me to watch and be connected to and communicate to on a regular basis. And he gives all kinds of gems, and every interview we've done with him is littered with great information and gems and books. Like, I've already read two or three books that he's recommended, and they've all been great books. Like, so Tom, hands down, he's definitely I enjoy his interviews more than Ben, because Ben, I love Ben, and he sounds a little monotone when he talks. So some people, if you're not into bodybuilding, you probably don't enjoy that episode as much. But I think he's a very smart man and intelligent. And I get a lot out of his stuff. Tom is more entertaining. He changes his voice His stories are great.
He's a good storyteller.
Yeah, he's a great storyteller, you know. And so Tom is number one for me. Number two would probably be Ben Pekulski. And number three for me, and is new for me, is Mike Matthews, yeah. Man. I really hit it off with him. So did, I mean, we all
I
want did.
To change one of mine after you're done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I got
so
one.
I Mike Matthews, you know, like Sal said, I enjoy, again, a business side for me. He's a very close second to Tom Bilyeu as far as somebody who has shared a lot of that. And I enjoy that. We are in a, right now where we're at with this company. You know, I've built multiple businesses before. I've never built something as big as this. I've never scaled something beyond 8+ employees. We're at 8 employees right now and trying to scale this thing. And to be able to talk to guys like this who both have, you know, 20+ employees and running a multi-million dollar company, it is just, it's been a, and they, and the fact that they share, and man, Mike did not like hold back anything. He, and I, that is, I appreciate, because I feel like I'm this way too. If somebody asked me, if you're an entrepreneur and you get to know me and we're off the mics, I will share a lot of the stuff that people think
that's
is
a sign of confidence.
Yeah. People think that, like, what are you doing? Telling them your numbers. And people are like, oh, don't tell your, like, people are so, I hate that people are so secretive about money and revenue, because everyone wants to put this facade on like they're making more, where I'll put it all out there. Like, this is where I'm at financially. This is where I'm trying to be. Like, can you help me?
Yeah.
And he's the type of guy who does it the same way, where, you know, this is how much money I make off of this. This is how, where I've struggled. This is what's cost me tons of money. Here's mistakes I've made. And people like that, man, when you find someone like that, you latch the fuck on to someone like that, because they're rare to find. And someone at that level, that intelligent, has been fucking awesome. So Tom Bilyeu, Mike Matthews, Ben Pack are my top three.
Yeah. Joe DeCina.
We haven't aired it yet. Nobody's heard it yet.
Oh my God, you guys are in for a treat.
I can't wait to.
I just remember that because you were talking about storytelling.
Oh my God. And that's the best
stories I've heard.
Well, we all agreed when we hung up on that episode that it was our favorite to listen to. I mean, yeah.
I've never done an interview where I enjoy.
We didn't talk much, but
yes, this is good. He's the one guest where he's talking and I'm literally just totally listening.
Oh, I
totally forget.
I pushed the mic away and I just sat back with like and was laughing and listening. Oh man, he was. Yeah, I'm excited to release that episode.
Very, very entertaining. Yeah,
so look out for that.
Right, look forward to that one.
Quick commercial break. Hey, people ask us all the time how they can support Mind Pump. Here's what you can do. You can go to www.brain.fm/mindpump and get 20% off Brain FM for meditation or focus. You can also go to audibletrial.com/mindpump and get a 30-day trial plus one free audio book. Lastly, you can go to getnatureblend.com/mindpump and you will get a discount on Ben Greenfield's CBD product.
KCM Zav, have you guys considered doing some kind of Prime Pro certification for trainers?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In fact,
you're in our heads.
In fact, we are scheduling, and I don't even know if we can give the date yet. Of what's going on here, Doug.
We have the tentative date. We can talk about it.
Yeah, but we don't have a way for people yet to...
Yeah, no one can sign up. But, I mean, you could tell the tentative date that's coming on because it will be a sign-up list and it will fill up fast because it's...
Start getting your coming airplane
up?
Tickets.
When's the date, Doug? Do you know? Here, while I talk here, Doug will look that up. So we are definitely going to host a Train the Trainer day here at Mind Pump Media Studio. So you get to come here, Mind Pump Media. You get to see the whole facility, get to see the studio, and then we're going to take a group of trainers, work in the business, and help them become six-figure plus trainers. Now, at some point in the future, it will turn into something that looks like a certification where you get certified. We're not doing that yet because we want to make sure we do a fucking good job.
In complete transparency, what we're doing is this first one, and that's why we know it'll fill up because it'll be absolutely...
It's going to be free.
It's going to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it's free is because there won't be a lot of structure to it. In fact, a lot of it will be us asking the trainers where we can help them.
Yeah, where the holes are and what we can, you know, how we can help you in this direction.
We want a solid group of probably around 50 or so trainers here that we can... ask where we can help them and give first, and we're going to give everything that we can, and then from there we can start to structure something, and then I'm sure one or two more after that when we'll start to finalize it as a real certification. But absolutely, we're heading in that direction. And the beginning process of that is about to come up here in about a month, Doug.
Tentatively, October 21st, I believe.
So October 21st or around that.
Yeah.
So you know, keep your ears, your eyes peeled and your ears open, because we will make the announcement when we're ready for people to register for this. It'll be absolutely for free. And it'll be just, I mean, like Adam said, we're going to limit it to a certain amount of people. So I don't know if it'll be 50, 30, whatever, but we want it to be a group that works together, obviously headed by me, Adam, and Justin. Mm-hmm. And it's going to help us in the future create certifications. I will say this, and this is just me thinking out loud. The original trainers that we meet with, some of those best ones, at some point I could foresee becoming people that help teach some of our certifications. Mm-hmm. So the three of us all share that in common, where we're very loyal to people. So you come to the first one, we work with you, we see you're doing a good job, you're implementing what we're talking about, then we're probably going to want to pluck people from that group and somehow utilize them as a part of our team.
It's probably one of the things that we're most excited about. It, in fact, I mean, I've been antsy for quite some time to get to this point, but we knew that there was a lot of things that we had to get in place.
It's the only
we
thing
had to have the foundation, especially with the programs. We had to have the corrective element in there.
All the YouTube stuff.
So now we kind of have like pretty much like what we need to work with as far as like addressing all these different issues. So now it's just a matter of like organizing it in a way where it's like turnkey for your average trainer.
Because you talk about each of our individual strengths, and this is much more in our wheelhouse than almost anything else.
Totally. Yeah.
Anything else that
I could train a trainer better than
I've been salivating for this.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of the few things I can think of that I love as much or more than personal training is working with trainers and helping them build.
Oh, I would much rather work with trainers than actual clients, for sure. I love to help trainers become better trainers and better businessmen and women than I do like helping individual one-on-one clients. So
this will be fun. I'm really looking forward to this. This is one of the few things that, you know, I feel like we can walk in and make an impact right away with the trainer. So
yeah,
like Adam was saying, the first one's going to be us finding out what you guys need. And the first group is going to get a lot of personal attention, because we're going to work with people, you know, one-on-one, break them up into groups. I'm sure we're going to work on an assessment process and prospecting and closing the deal, and how to structure your pricing and how to program your workouts, and you know what kind of gym you should look to work in, and how to build your business if you're a private trainer versus if you're in a big box, and you know how to build your skills, what certifications you should look for. I'm sure we're going to cover all that and more, maybe social media. I'm sure that's going to be a big part of it. So it'll be exciting. Definitely looking forward to it. Check this out. 30 Days of Coaching. It's available for free. All you got to do is go to mindpumpmedia.com and register for it. It's a lot of good free information regarding fitness, wellness, health, and performance. Also, go to YouTube, our YouTube channel, Mind Pump TV. We post a new video every single day. Everything from entertaining vlogs to fitness information is up on this channel. It's already got a ton of videos, again, because we are just content machines. So sign yourself up. Thank you, Justin.
Yeah.
Make sure you subscribe to that channel so you can get all the videos, access to them. Again, it's free. Also, if you want to ask us a question that we answer on a Q&A episode, just go to Instagram, find our page, Mind Pump Media, follow that page, look for the memes that say Q&A, ask your question there. We may pick it and we may answer it on this episode. And finally, we all have personal Instagram pages, all with different information. My page is Mind Pump Sal, Adam is Mind Pump Adam, and Justin is Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.